From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wong. The list of top ports in the country is out. Is anyone surprised that Dutch Harbor is number one for the 21st consecutive year? That's for the volume of product that crossed the dock. And the Far Western port ranked number two for value of seafood landed. No word yet as to who will head up the commercial fisheries division, but ADF&G gets three new key people. Sitka had its worst pink salmon season in 44 years, but it could have been worse. We look at the area's regional hatcheries and the vision of the founders. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
For the 21st consecutive year, Dutch Harbor is America's largest fishing port for volume of seafood across the dock. And it ranks number two for the value of fish delivered. According to an annual National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration report, which was released on December 13th, the port of Dutch Harbor led the nation with 769 million pounds of seafood landed in 2017. That works out to roughly $173 million worth of seafood, which placed Dutch Harbor in the number two spot for value. That's down $25 million and 1 million pounds from 2016. Nearly all of that, 92%, was Alaska pollock, which is the top seafood species processed in America. Pollock also contributed to 48% of the value delivered at Dutch Harbor. High-value snow crabs and king crabs accounted for an additional 34% of the value of Dutch Harbor landings and 2% of the volume. Nationwide, pollock claims 28% of the volume and 17% of the value of produce processed in the United States. It far outshines the next closest fisheries in both of those categories. And according to NOAA's Ned Cry, pollock is a significant fishery nationally.
The nation's largest commercial fishery, Alaska pollock, had near-record landings of 3.4 billion pounds, up around 1% from 2016, valued at $413 million.
Alaska pollock, also known as walleye, made up 92% of the volume. Plus, high-value snow crabs and king crabs accounted for an additional 34% of the value of Dutch Harbor landings and 2% of the volume. Alongside Alaska pollock, the highest-value species include salmon, crab, lobsters, shrimp, and scallops. Kodiak also fared well on the value and volume listings. Kodiak ranks number three in pounds of product landed and number four in terms of the dollar value of the fish for 2017. In all, fishermen brought 530 million pounds of fish into Kodiak, which had a value of $152 million. Overall, Alaska was responsible for more than half of the nation's seafood, about 6 billion pounds, worth $1.8 billion. That's an increase in both volume and value from the previous year. And finally, in what would be a non-surprise to anyone who follows these annual fish figures, New Bedford, Massachusetts had the highest value catch for the 18th year in a row. Fishermen in the New England town hauled in 11 million pounds, valued at $389 million. 80% of that was sea scallops. We had help on this story from Zoe Sobel at KUCB in Unalaska.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
Alaska has a new governor, which means a lot of changes in administration positions. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has three new leaders. Lainey Welch with Alaska Fish Radio has this report.
Three new names have been added to leadership roles at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Acting Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang announced on Friday that Ben Mulligan of Palmer will be Deputy Commissioner effective January 3rd. He also will act as Chief of Staff to the Commissioner. Mulligan most recently has been Vice President of the Alaska Chamber of Commerce. He holds a bachelor's degree in fisheries biology from the University of Wyoming and was a legislative liaison for Fish and Game during the Parnell administration. As Deputy Commissioner, Mulligan will oversee statewide fisheries and wildlife regulatory and management issues. Mulligan said in a press release that he has appreciated the complexity and importance of fish and wildlife issues in Alaska since his first fisheries technician job at Bristol Bay. Rick Green of Anchorage will be special assistant to the commissioner. Green is better known since 2001 as conservative radio talk show host Rick Rydell. He's a lifelong member of the National Rifle Association, a member of the Outdoor Council, and a former hunting and fishing guide. Green also served on a Fish and Game Advisory Council for 3 years. Green said he's thrilled to work to restore trust in the department, build communication, and serve the public. Finally, the new director of the agency's Division of Wildlife Conservation is Eddie Grasser. Grasser was a special assistant to the Fish and Game Commissioner from 2005 to 2006. He spent 5 years as chief of staff for the state legislature's House Resources Committee before opening Grassroots Strategies, a consulting firm specializing in natural resources advocacy. Eddie Grasser also is new Deputy Commissioner Ben Mulligan's uncle.
That was Lainey Welch from Alaska Fish Radio.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
2018 was the worst season for pink salmon in Southeast Alaska in 44 years. But it wasn't the worst season for the salmon fleet, thanks in part to the region's nonprofit hatcheries. That was the message delivered by Steve Reifenstuhl to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce recently. Reifenstuhl is the general manager of the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, which is also known as NSERA. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has this report.
The terrible season of 1974 was the low point of a downward trend in the Southeast salmon harvest that began roughly around statehood. Although 2018 was every bit as bad as that pivotal year, NSERA General Manager Steve Reifenstuhl says it was not as devastating.
But the big difference this year was that the enhancement program was in place, and that really brought the trawlers and the seiners through.
In Crawfish Inlet alone, NSERA saw a return of 3.5 million chum salmon to its release site there, fish worth $20 million to the boats that caught them, and $40 million to the processors who put them on the market. The hope is for just as phenomenal a return in Crawfish Inlet next year. Reifenstuhl explained that crawfish, though extraordinary, was no accident. NSERA has been planning the release there since 2012 and borrowed $5.5 million to expand its chum program in the region. But NSERA's operating expenses are paid by the fishermen themselves, and a 3% enhancement tax they imposed after the awful 1974 season.
You think about that graph you looked at in the mid-70s when it was an all-time low, and fishermen are thinking, we should invest our money, the money we don't have, into an enhancement program that's never been tried in Alaska except for in the late 1890s that failed. Let's do that. Let's put our money in. Let's tax ourselves that. Think about the risk that they took.
Reifenstuhl hesitated here in his presentation, choking up a little as he considered the faith placed in an idea by fishermen of that era, many of whom would never fully reap the benefits. And the benefits have been significant. Salmon fishing and markets are cyclical, but the trend has been up over the last 44 years. Reifenstuhl told the chamber that the risk had paid off.
Here's one of our most proud graphs. This is looking at just Ensera. So to orient you, the bottom line with the open circles is what fishermen pay in 3% tax. So every salmon, whether it's wild or enhanced, they're paying 3% of that value, goes to the state and comes back to Ensera or Sara. So in this case, we're just looking at Ensera production. So looking at that 3% contribution through 2016 is $38 million is what they've put in. And then the value they've returned or been returned to them is $257 million or 6.8-1 benefit to cost. That's for stock market followers, that's 680%.
Hatcheries are not without controversy. Their impact on the ecosystem isn't understood directly, and when there are failures in wild systems, like Chinook returns to southeast big river systems, some wonder if hatcheries are a factor. Reifenstuhl says that all the hatchery programs combined on the Pacific Rim, including Japan, Korea, Canada, and the U.S., release about 5 billion fry into the ocean every year. That's a lot of fish, but it's roughly one quarter of the over 20 billion wild fry estimated to enter the ocean. And Reifenstuhl says salmon aren't the only fish in the sea.
If you look at, of all the nectonic feeders on zooplankton, primarily zooplankton is the target when the fish are juveniles. When you look at that, all the salmon represent 3% of those predators on that prey item. If you take squid in the North Pacific, they represent, just that group represents 4%. So it's a pretty tiny percent.
The other problem is straying, or hatchery stocks returning to natural systems and crossbreeding with wild stocks. Reifenstuhl says that Alaska's hatcheries anticipated this problem by seeding their programs with wild stocks to begin with. Nevertheless, the state is conducting an extended research project to assess whether the fitness of wild stocks is jeopardized by crossbreeding. Although data from Alaska hasn't been analyzed, Reifenstuhl says that research elsewhere has not shown harm. And straying would be difficult to stop since it's encoded in salmon behavior. Everyone knows salmon stray, said Reifenstuhl. It's why we have salmon. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Zoe Sobel at KCUB in Unalaska. Robert Woolsey reported from KCAW in Sitka, and we had help from Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio. Happy, happy holidays to fishermen and those who love them. Merry Christmas to everyone from me and all of us here at KMXT, where we produce the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wong.